Wowzers. Man, that is beautiful. I could sit and just listen to that. Wow, thank you guys. Do you know the difference between a violin and a fiddle? You know, I love bluegrass. There's a difference between a violin and a fiddle. Violins have strings, and a fiddle has strings. So some of you are asking, how is the pastor and his family doing with all the snow and all the cold and whatever? Let not your hearts be troubled. We are doing well. We are doing okay, enjoying it. Although, I mean, like an hour and a half of snow blowing in our driveway, immense driveway and whatever, and didn't hardly touch it. So thankfully, Gabe took over and did another hour or so, and we got most of the snow moved. But we did get to go snowshoeing yesterday for the very first time. So that was super cool, very nice. And we went to Kewishewee Falls, and man, was that beautiful. So thank for the snow, and thanks for snowshoes and the ability to go out there and enjoy creation and see all kinds of animal tracks and whatever. So very neat. As I shared last week, one of my goals or whatever is to kind of help you get to know me a little bit better each week, each and every week. And sometime in the near future, we may just spend the time really getting to know each other, especially you having the chance to get to know me. But one of the things that I enjoy doing definitely is going out, being outside. We love to paddle. I love to fish. And so enjoy creation. But here in Ely in this winter, the kids are doing the Minnesota Youth Ski League, and they are having a blast. As I said, we got some snowshoes, and we got to go out and snowshoe yesterday. So we love to be active and go out there. I hope to learn to love ice fishing if anybody wants to take me and probably my boys fishing. That would be okay. That would be fine with me. So would like to try that or enjoy that at some point. But we like to be outdoors. We like to be active and do some things. But also one of my favorite things to do besides just sitting in my recliner and drinking coffee, lots and lots of coffee, and of course doing my Bible studies and my devotions as I drink one of God's greatest gifts, being coffee. As I do that, I also really, really like to watch movies. I mean, the opposite of being outside and active, I like to sit and do absolutely nothing. And I love movies. I love to go to movie theaters. By the way, if you are filthy rich, please give to the theater so it can finish whatever their remodel is or whatever. I would be grateful for you doing that for us. So just pray about it and please do it. Because, man, it would be so cool to get to go to the movies here. I love movies. I love popcorn. I love to combine movies and popcorn. I love to sit and do nothing. Don't think. Just watch a movie. I love that. And one of my favorite, maybe, I mean, it's not my favorite, but it's one of my favorite for sure movies for many, many years is the movie Miracle. You know that movie? Miracle, what an unbelievable story. What an unbelievable, just account of what a miraculous event that happened back in 1980. If you're not familiar, the movie Miracle is, I mean, you got to watch it, write it down or Google it or whatever and rent it on YouTube or whatever. You got to see it. It's absolutely cool, but it's the story of Coach Herb Brooks, and he was the University of Minnesota's hockey coach, right? Yeah, anyway, it's the story of Coach Herb Brooks coaching the 1980 United States Olympic hockey team. And then that whole account of everything that happened, during that season and that just amazing event and all that took place. And I really, really appreciate the story behind it, especially insight into Coach Brooks's mentality on putting together the team. He was not looking for the best talent. He was looking for the right players. Very important, super critical to the way he wanted to try to beat, especially the Russian team that was undefeated for so many games, so many seasons, won the gold medal in the Olympics for 4 or 5 Olympics in a row. I mean, it was just crazy. Their winning streak, and he wanted to who doesn't want to beat the Russians, right? Like, you can get behind that. Pretty cool story. But it was really neat the way he didn't look for the best players, he looked for the right players. The right players that he could push to prepare them to to be able to compete against a team like the Russians. It was so cool the way Coach Brooks worked with the team to try to push them to the point that they either had to work together, they had to become one team, or it wouldn't work at all. And so he pushed them and pushed them until they got to where they worked together and they became unified. And this, it's a miracle. It's so such a cool story. The team was made up of kids, students from all over the country. I mean, from here in Minnesota and from North Dakota and from Massachusetts, from all over the country, extreme rivals during the college season. And Coach Brooks masterfully brought the right players together at the right time, pushed them to the point where they had to work together as a team, unified, and amazing, incredible things happened as a result of that. It's truly, truly a miracle, functioning together with one purpose, as one unit, with one goal in mind. Just a miracle. Well, today we're going to look at something similar, kind of a similar story in the Lord bringing together people from all over the world, all different walks of life, from all financial backgrounds, all sorts of political backgrounds, whatever, and bringing us together to function as one body. Today we're going to be in the book of 1 Corinthians. That's the book that's directly in front of 2 Corinthians. If you're looking in your Bible, it's in the New Testament. And it's about halfway, roughly, through the New Testament. So find 1 Corinthians. We're going to be in chapter 12, beginning in verse 12. That's where we'll be. And again, I talk to you each week. If you don't have a copy of a Bible, if you have a smartphone or a tablet, bring that along and get the YouVersion app. Y-O-U, YouVersion. Man, do I love that version. Lots of devotions, lots of Bible reading plans, all kinds of information, but nearly every translation available in the English language is right there. Click it and you've got it. By the way, I have been using the CSB, Christian Standard Bible. That's the one I've been using lately. So if you like to follow along word for word and you have something like YouVersion, go to the CSB version, and that's what I've been using. I find it extremely accurate, but also a little bit easier to understand than some other translations. So if you like to follow along, and I hope that you do, that's what I'm doing, and that's where we're going, and that's one that I recommend for sure. But today we're in 1 Corinthians, and man, where was the church in Corinth a mess? The Apostle Paul had spread the gospel. They had planted a church. Believers were getting together, and Corinth was a mecca for people from all over the world. I mean, there were Jews and Greeks, and there were rich and poor. There were people from all walks of life gathered in Corinth, and many had heard the gospel, the good news of Jesus, had put their faith and trust in Jesus, and had then formed the church there in Corinth. Now, then Paul had taught the gospel. He had taught the centrality of Christ and what it was like to be a believer in the midst of pagan cultures. But the church, after Paul then left to go plant more churches, the church had begun to drift away from that centrality of Christ. They wanted to add legalism. They were definitely living like the world, not as followers of Christ. And so Paul, hearing this news, heartbroken, wrote a letter correcting their behavior, their very inappropriate behavior, and trying to teach them, because of their faith in Jesus, they needed to live out that gospel every day, all day. It didn't matter what other people that weren't part of the church were doing. They had to be different. They were called and created to be different because of their faith in Jesus. So know that this letter, there's a lot of information contained, a lot of chastising their inappropriate behavior, but then a lot of correction and showing how to live out as a believer. We can all very much benefit from that. So anyway, there's a quick background on the book of 1 Corinthians. There's a lot going on, so I don't spend a lot of time there. But the point today is we're in chapter 12, beginning in verse 12. So follow along with me as I read God's word to you. The Apostle Paul writes, he says, "For just as the body is one and has many parts, and all the parts of that body, though many, are one body, so also is Christ. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. Indeed, the body is not one part, but many.
if the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it is not for that reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it is not for that reason any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But as it is, God has arranged each one of the parts in the body just as he wanted it. And if they were all the same part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. Pray with me. Most gracious Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning, first of all, joyful and glad to be in your house, praising and worshiping you because you truly are worthy. And Father, I thank you for your word and for this message that you have laid on my heart. And Father, I pray that you will speak through me this morning, that you will take your word and you will boldly proclaim it in a clear manner that each one of us can better understand who you are, what you've done for us, and then what it is now that we can do to serve you. I pray all this in Jesus' name, and the whole body said,
amen.
So kind of the point to today's message is for us, for Ledge Rock Community Church, to be effective in this world, impacting darkness with the light that is Jesus, then we have to realize that you and I together are part of a miracle team. We are part of something very, very much larger than each one of us. So, several different things we want to look at. We want to dissect through this passage of Scripture to help us better understand how to be so much more effective as a body than we ever imagined possible. So, the first thing we have to know is that you and I together, both born-again believers, make up the body of Christ. We make up one body. Look again at verse 12. And verse 12, it says again, for just as the body is one and has many parts, and all the parts of that body, though many, are one body, so also is Christ. Man, if you look up, I know we've got some medical professionals in here, if you look up the human body, it's absolutely mind-blowing how complex our bodies are. I love to, when I'm at a medical facility, a doctor visitor, whatever, to talk to that caregiver about their belief system. Because I find it just unbelievable that someone that knows about the human body can believe that this all happened by chance. That somehow there was nothing, and suddenly there was something, and then there was life, and all of that evolved through. Anyway, all that, whatever, I find it interesting. So I love to talk with people that have differing views, although I've found few that can look me in the face and say they can see that just this happened over time. So anyway, the human body is extremely complex. Well, we've got three main parts, three main sections to our body. There's the head, the trunk, and then the limbs. But within our body, there's seven major systems, like the cardiovascular, circulatory, respiratory, and central nervous systems. There's seven major systems throughout our body. There's 78 organs inside our bodies. By the way, they're finding that there are reasons for gallbladders and appendix and things that that they easily take out. They're like, wait a minute, there's a purpose for some of these things. Granted, we may not have to have one. But the point is, 78 organs, 205 different bones, 600 muscles, 9,000 taste buds. I'm glad for each and every one of them. Love needs some food. 100,000 hairs. Let's check the recall here. Check. I can hear me. Can you bring it out?
I'm not being
fair. Okay. No, you do what you're doing. 100,000 hairs. Interesting that Kevin's standing here. Nothing to do with my mic either working or not working or whatever. But anyway, the body has 9,000 taste buds, 100,000 hairs, give or take a few, 100 trillion cells. 100 trillion cells. All that makes up one human body. The point that you and I have to understand is as believers, as born-again followers of Jesus, we may make up all different types of parts, all different types of things, but together We make up one body, and that is the body of Christ, the body of Jesus. The second thing we have to know is that we become part of that body when we get saved, when we put our faith and trust in Jesus and Jesus alone as Savior. Look at the next verse, verse 13. Since for we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slave or free, and we were all given one Spirit to drink. We become part of this body when we get saved. Put our faith and trust in Jesus. One of the neat things about Ely as a community is seeing people from all over, all different walks of life who have moved here to this beautiful Northwoods community. And people from all over the country working together in all sorts of different aspects to pull off what you and I know and enjoy as the city of Ely. It's really cool as an outsider coming in to see how neat that is, how neat the city functions with so many varying political views and just classes of citizens and whatever. And Ledgerock is just a snapshot of that. This church is amazing. If you're new here, if you're visiting or whatever, you'll find that Ledgerock is truly amazing because we're so diverse, so many different varieties of people from so many different places and areas all coming together, all walks of life from all over, setting aside differences and working together with a common good, with a common cause. I love the book of Acts. Acts is just so cool to see what happened after Jesus was crucified, was buried, was resurrected, and then ascended back up to heaven. Then to see when the Holy Spirit came down at Pentecost and indwelled all the believers, and then how those believers were empowered and how different they were than their old lives, than the rest of the community, especially there in Jerusalem where all this started. I love to read that account. And then when the disciples were indwelt with the Holy Spirit, they went out and there were people from all over the world gathered in Jerusalem, and the disciples spoke in different languages. And Peter, who had just denied Jesus, he run and hid for his life, he comes out and he speaks a huge, very bold sermon proclaiming Jesus as the Messiah, and thousands of people saved and baptized. And then the account of how these people from all over the world began to live together and do life together because of the change that came from the inside out. Remember last week that we are a new creation in Christ, whose old has passed away and everything becomes brand new. That actually happened in that early church, and it still happens today, and it just blows me away. I love to read it. I love to read it every time. It's like I'm reading it for the first time, because then what happened as the church grew to be one body together in Christ, and they went out in the outside world, saw the unity in the church, and marveled, because there's no way that can happen apart from the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The point is that you and I become part of the body when we put our faith and trust in Jesus, because we are indwelt with the Holy Spirit. All of this that happens inside us is the work of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God Himself inside us. He is so awesome. He is so amazing. The work that He can do, that He does do, and that He is doing inside each one of us as He fills us with His Spirit. It's the same Spirit in each one of us. Awesome. We make up one body. We become part of that body when we put our faith in Jesus. The next thing we have to know and understand, by the way, I love this one. Bear with me. Don't be offended. I love this one. It doesn't matter what you think. I don't care what you think. I love this. It doesn't matter. I don't care what you think. Look at verse 15. Verse 15 and 16. If the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I don't belong to the body, it is not for that reason any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I don't belong to the body, it is not for that reason any less a part of the body. It doesn't matter what you think. Our bodies are made up of so many different parts, all kinds of parts, the head and trunk and limbs and all the systems and all the organs and all the muscles and all the different things. The body's made up of lots of parts. You and I, we may be very different. We may come from very different backgrounds. We may be very unique, but But together, we make up the body of Christ, and it doesn't matter what you think, if you think you are valuable or not, or part of the body or not, if you put your faith and trust in Jesus, you are a part of the body of Christ. Sometimes, we feel unimportant. Sometimes, we feel separated from the rest of the body. I get that. I know that. I battle that in my own life, in my own family, all the time. Sometimes we feel unimportant, not valuable, not necessary. Sometimes we get discouraged. Discouraged with our own, maybe what we feel like is a lack of gifts, or lack of talent, or lack of ability, or whatever. Sometimes we get discouraged that we're a goalie. And we wish we could be a left wing. You know, instead of stopping the shots, we wish we could be the one making the goals or whatever. Our spiritual lives are no different. We feel very much sometimes separated and far away, not part of the team, not part of the body. The cruel thing is, it doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter if you feel part of the body or not. If you have put your faith and trust in Jesus, you are part of the body. You have to know that. You have to understand that and begin to own that. Tell the enemy not to bring that lie into your mind anymore. It doesn't matter what you think. It doesn't matter how low you may feel. Look at the next part. You're vital and absolutely necessary. Look at verse 17. Verse 17, it says, if the whole body were an eye, where would the hearing be? And if the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? The point is, you are absolutely vital and absolutely necessary to being part of this body that is the body of Christ, that is the church, not an address. But the body put together. One of the big problems in the body, in our own lives, is when we feel a little bit different and we feel like we're just not necessary. And then we don't do what we're created to do. We don't act out that hand or foot or ear or eye or whatever the part that you were, that you are, that you're created to be. When we feel that we're different, so we're not necessary, so we stop doing what we're supposed to do. The point is, all of the diversity that we make up is a good thing. It's an important thing. It's absolutely, absolutely essential, actually. As a pastor, I get to see it, and it breaks my heart because there are people in the body, some of you, just brothers and sisters throughout the country, that are part of the body of Christ that don't feel very important because they look up to others, because maybe they're not an elder or a deacon or deaconess or whatever. Maybe they're not up here on the stage leading worship. They don't feel like they're very valuable. And so they kind of look up to other believers as they then look down at themselves because they're just not created like that other person that they think may be more valuable. The point is that you are precious and you're so vital. And so important. It doesn't matter what your skill may be or may not be. Don't look up to others as better than you. And don't look down at yourself as worse than others. Because you're so vital. And so important. So necessary. That diversity is such a good thing. Each one of you is so important to the team functioning together. You're vital and you're important. The next thing is that you are perfect. You're perfect. Do you ever struggle with feeling unimportant? Struggle with feeling worthless and of no value because you're not a great teacher? You're not a great preacher? You're not good at praying out loud? You can't memorize scripture? You can't talk to strangers and share your faith? You struggle with feeling like others are more valuable than you are. Don't listen to that voice because you are perfect. If you're a young one here today, if you're a child in school or whatever, I really want you to pay attention to this next verse and this next point. I really want you to listen because I can't imagine being a student today
and the battle that goes on between what they learned here and then what they learned in the schools, whether it's college or wherever.
But look at verse 18.
It says, "But as it is, God has arranged each one of you, each one of the parts in the body, just as he wanted. Do you know that you are fearfully and wonderfully made? You are so important. The Lord created each one of you perfectly. He knew you before you were ever born. Jesus designed you just exactly like you are. You are absolutely amazing and so important. I know there's books out there that will teach you that you were just an accident, that somehow by chance certain things happened, that something that was nothing became something, and suddenly there was life, and over billions and trillions, and add how many zeros you want, you became a human being, and that throughout the millennia, whatever, the humans have evolved to the point that we are today, and you are just simply an accident. Let me tell you, that's a lie. It's a lie straight from hell. There is a God, one true God in heaven, and he knows you and loves you, and he created you specifically to be you. You're not an accident. You're not a mistake. You are perfect. Jesus knew you before you were born. He created you to be exactly who you are today, and he willingly and gladly died for you. Such is your importance. You are not an accident. You are here for a reason. So then we have to ask ourselves, okay, now what? I understand I'm part of the team. I'm a part of the body, that I'm vital and important, that I'm perfect, and that I'm not an accident, that God has created me very specifically to be exactly who I am supposed to be. So now what do we do with this information? Look at the next couple of verses, 19 and 20. "And if they were all the same part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body." It's so cool in the account of the 1980 hockey team as Coach Brooks, as he worked his team, the right team, not the most talented, but the right team, the right players in the right positions that could be pushed and molded to become the team that he wanted. As he worked that team, they gelled and became unified. The 1980 U.S. hockey team became one team. Instead of playing for their separate colleges, they got to the point where they worked together as one body, fighting against a common enemy. If you don't know the story, sorry, I'm going to spoil it a little bit for you, but they go on and they beat the Russians and they win the gold medal, and just absolutely, truly a miracle because of what Coach Brooks did as he put together this team of kids from all over the country, varying backgrounds, varying levels of skill, but he got the right players in the right positions, and together they worked together, so unified and so gelled that it became truly a miracle. So what about you and I? What about us here today in the body of Christ? What are we supposed to do? We have to play together for a cause so much bigger than us. We are here today in the midst of darkness as light for a cause that is the kingdom of Jesus. And let me tell you, it's so much bigger than each one of us. Our own desires, our own wants don't matter. It's for the good of the team. It's for the good of the King. It's for the advancement of the gospel, because people's eternity depend upon it. What do? We give each other some grace. Give ourselves grace. Cut each other some slack. I wrote this one down. Enjoy diversity. Sometimes that's hard when you're working together, part of a team or whatever, and you're so different. Cut some slack, give some grace, learn to enjoy that diversity. Love each other as we love God the most. Love each other. And be unified. Work together in humility and meekness. Be submissive and serve one another. Perhaps most importantly, do what you're created to do. be that part of the body that you are supposed to be. You're not an accident. You're here for a reason. Be who you are supposed to be. I wish we had everything together and we could explain all the different areas where you can serve here at Ledge Rock. Part of our core values are to know Christ, to grow in our faith with Jesus, to serve both Him and the local church, and then to go, to be out there on missions. And in the coming months and in the coming years, we're going to build that into the DNA, how it is that we do things here at Ledge Rock. But know that being a member here, coming here, isn't free. You're asked to serve. You're asked to be part of the body, be who you're supposed to be, and do it, whatever that may be. And let's watch how God can use you and me working together to grow and advance the kingdom. Let's watch it. The most important thing is you have to do what you're created to do. And know that I'm calling you to some action. You have to serve. There's serving group sign up, I think, out there on the Welcome Center. If you're not part of that, or we're revamping it because it wasn't working the best, or whatever, I don't know. Point is, if you're not doing it, sign up out there. Know that there's more and more opportunities coming for you to serve. Be who you're supposed to be. Be part of the body, because this team depends upon you. And together, you and I, as the body of Christ here in Ely, we're a miracle team. A miracle brought together because of the cause and the kingdom of Jesus. And together we can continue to do and perform miracles that only Christ can do in us and through us. So let's work together as the body, as a miracle. Let's pray. Father, we come to you this morning. We continue here this day in your house, praising and exalting you in your holy name because of how you have created each one of us. And Father, I thank you for each person that is here today and that might be gone, that had to miss for whatever reason, that might be listening in the future. Lord, I pray that you will show us what our gifts are and how it is that we can serve you. And Lord, let us not be idle. Let us not be selfish and want our own desires, but instead, let us look to the team and how it is that we can do our part so that you are glorified. Father, just thank you for this chance to praise and worship. I pray that you continue to work in our lives. Forgive us for our weaknesses and our failures. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.